So there's so many things happening in this early church. And if you recall the last couple of weeks, the Holy Spirit had made its entrance into this world. It was here to stay. Because before in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, the way that it worked, it would come and it would go, it would come and it would go. But now, the Holy Spirit came and it came to stay. So Luke records this new start, which, by the way, Luke is not an apostle. I know some folks, you know, sometimes get confused only because, you know, he writes a gospel. And they think that Luke is like an apostle. Luke is not an apostle. Luke was not even a disciple of Christ. In fact, that Luke did not get to know Jesus personally. But he did come to Christ. He was a convert. But he wasn't even Jewish. He was Greek. And not only that, get this, I don't know if you knew this, but he was the only author in the Bible that was not Jewish. Every other author in the Bible, every single one of the authors in all the books of the Bible, they're all Jewish except for Luke. Luke is the only one that's not Jewish. A little bit more about Luke. Luke is a doctor, a medical doctor. He's a physician. But God saves him. And he becomes a believer in Christ. And he writes his own gospel that has his name. But then he writes the sequel. He writes the book of Acts. Now, let me tell you something. Acts it's an incredible book. It's an exciting book. It describes the beginning of the church. It has 28 chapters. You might want to take mental note of this. These 28 chapters span about 30 years into this early church. So those first 30 years, God fulfills his promise. He fulfills this new covenant promise. He fulfills it, first of all, by coming to this earth. God of this universe, he comes in human form. He dwells among us. He dies, but he doesn't stay there. On the third day, the word of God says that he rose again from the dead. And today, He saves us. He saves mankind. So from the very beginning of this book, it was always God's purpose for man to be saved. Always. It was always God's intent. His intention was always to come and save us. It was God's purpose for man to come to salvation. So specifically, as we go into Acts and we start looking into it, right? A little bit more closer. Acts 2, we see something strange happen. No one's ever experienced what they're about to experience in Acts 2. And it was the Holy Spirit, like I said before, coming to this world. And the stage was set. It was Jerusalem. People were coming from all over that country, in fact, from all parts of that world at that moment. They were there to celebrate what's called the Feast of Pentecost. So there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And again, something strange happened. They've never experienced what they were about to experience, because all of a sudden, the disciples and the 120 that were there got baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. In reality, they didn't know what was going on, because they really didn't know, you know, that that's exactly what was going to happen. And then something else happened. They started speaking in other languages. They started speaking in tongues. But people from the other nations, they were able to understand them. That was the miracle. Okay? The miracle was that these disciples who are now apostles, they were speaking in other languages that other folks were able to understand. It's almost like yo estar hablando en español, ustedes de un momento a otro me comienzan a entender. You guys get that? Yeah. So the miracle would have been that you would have been able to understand me. That's exactly what happened. The apostles were able to understand all the different languages, and they were able to, better yet, they were able to speak the other languages, and the other people, like you, were able to understand them. And what was happening is that they were in those different tongues, in those different languages, they were preaching the gospel. I mean, it was incredible. So on that day, on that first wave, 3,000 people got saved. 3,000. Man, that's a lot of folks. I mean, even if we filled this church, I think we're allowed like 495 max with up in the balcony. Now, just think about it. 3,000. That's a lot of people. But it didn't stay there. Just a few weeks later, we believe like maybe a week or two later, get this, 5,000 more people get saved. Meaning that in just a matter of just a couple of 1-2 weeks, the church blew up to about 8,000 people or more. So another thing that was exciting, and again, we've been seeing this the last couple of weeks as we've been starting to see Acts, is that the disciples, now apostles, they had received the gift to do miracles. Now, they had already seen miracles be done, and it was done by Christ himself. Christ was with them for almost over 3 years. So they were able to see all sorts of just really just marvelous miracles. Now, they were able to do them. They were able to do exactly what Jesus did just, you know, when he was with them. I mean, Jesus did so many miracles. And one of the ones that I like the most, I mean, he did so many. In fact, the Bible says that there's so many, they don't even fit in a book. That's how many, I mean, miracles that Jesus did on this earth. I mean, who knows how many people got saved. In fact, some say that in that area where Jesus walked, there were no sick people because he healed them all. Isn't that crazy? I mean, no sick people because Jesus healed them all. Because his love was so great, was so big. Because that's his desire. That was his desire to heal the people. But one of the ones that I liked the most was the resurrection of Lazarus. Remember, everybody remember that one? Resurrection of Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was dead, man. He was gone, dead as a doornail. He was 4 days. The Bible says he was dead 4 days. He was decomposing. I mean, he was gone. I mean, he wasn't like, you know, you hear the stories where you know, certain people, they die on the operating table, and then they, you know, they die for about like maybe 1 or 2 minutes, and then they give their story how they go through the tunnel. And I'm not saying that that's true or not true. I'm just saying that's what they say. So they go, everybody, or is this me that I've heard those testimonies? So they go through the tunnel, and it's like 2-3 minutes, and all of a sudden, you know, they come back to life, right? Well, that was not Lazarus. Lazarus was not on the operating table, and he was not, you know, dead for 2-3 minutes. You know, he didn't go through this tunnel. Well, at least that's, you know, the Bible doesn't mention that. But the Bible does say that he was dead 4 days. His sister says, because Jesus said, hey, remove the rock. Because Jesus was about to do one of the greatest miracles of all time. I mean, one other miracle that really compresses that is the parting of the sea, but that's in the Old Testament. But, I mean, in the New Testament, this was like huge. I mean, having a man come back to life, a man that was dead, a man that was decomposing. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come. The New James says, come hither, come forth. And he had to say Lazarus because Jesus' power, because Jesus is God, his power is, he is God. If he didn't mention the name Lazarus, all the dead people would have come out at that time. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because that's God's power. And Jesus calls Lazarus, and he comes out of that grave alive. So all the disciples are there. They're seeing this miracle. They see how he does it. They were present for that miracle. They had seen Jesus' miracles, but now they were given the power to do similar miracles. Last week, in chapter 3, we saw a man that had been lame. He was handicapped. Since birth, he was never able to walk. So when the disciples, again, now the apostles, when they came to the temple, he came to church to come and pray and all that, they saw him, at the entrance of the temple. And he was there. He's been there probably all his life, going to the temple, begging for money. Everyone knew his condition. Everyone knew that he had this condition all of his life. But God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, heals this man. He straightens out his feet and legs. Now, I want you to imagine this. I mean, his legs were probably twisted. His feet were twisted. So the miracle is that God straightens out his feet and his legs. Not Peter and John, because a lot of times when you do miracles, at least nowadays, the focus is on man. But man does not have the ability to do miracles. It's God, and it's always God, and it's always been God. We're just simply vessels. So his legs get straightened out, his feet, he gets the circulation, those dead cells and all, and are going into his veins. So whatever was dead comes to life, because that's what God does. God has the power to make dead things come alive. God has the power to make dead things come alive. Amen? How many can praise God for that? I mean, it's just awesome. So God restores, God resurrects what is dead. So God can restore a life with addiction. God can restore bad relationships. And God can restore you. Because church, God is not dead. He is alive. Amen? I mean, there's even a song that the little kids, we sometimes sing it with the kids in the school. God's not dead. He's still alive. God's not dead. He's still, and that's all it says. God's not dead. He's still alive. I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. I feel him all over me. Yeah, I mean, praise God. I mean, he is God. He's not dead. He is alive, and we can trust in God. So in a matter of just a few weeks, the church has now become a powerful institution, because salvation had come to this world. But not only that, salvation has also come to this world. I mean, after 2,000 years, God is still saving, God is still healing, and God is still filling us with his power. Praise God for that. And that's what God was doing in this early church. But I want you to take a look at something, because this is very important. Because Acts 4:32 says something so key. Because if we do want to have the power, if we do want to have, you know, the healings, if we want to do, we have all these things that I've just mentioned, we got to pay attention to Acts 4:32. Now, let me read what Acts 4:32 says. Now, it says this: now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. You know, sometimes when I go over there to school and, you know, I get, you know, observe the kids and stuff like that. And sometimes the kids get into like a little fight, you know, because of they have, you know, a toy or whatever. And it's funny, you know, they're 2 years old, you know. So there's no, it's mine. It's mine. You can't have it because it's mine. I mean, from very little, I mean, that's how we are. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is also mine. But do you see what's going on here in this early church? Do you see what's going on? It says the full number of those who believe were of one heart, and they were one soul. And no one said, hey, buddy, give me that. That's mine. No. I mean, what was mine was yours, and what was yours is mine. And I love these words, you know, that the Bible uses when it says, like, you know, all. In this case, the very last part of this verse is, but they had everything. I mean, when the Bible says those kind of words, it's because that's exactly what it means. In this case, they had everything in common. So this is great encouragement. And these are the verses that I personally kind of constantly look at. You know, these are the verses when we're doing things in the church, and these are the verses. Because I see here, what I see in this verse is specifically in so many verses in the Bible, I see that God wants a unified church. So first of all, they were unified. They did things together. This is exactly what Luke is saying. He's saying that no one was selfish. They took care of each other. They were in community. Just yesterday was a great day in the church, at least for me. And there was so much activity here yesterday. I don't know if you know that. In the morning, we were able to serve our community. This is something that we've been doing, I don't know if you know this, but with our pantry, that's something that we've been doing for now 10 years. We're able to do it through your tithes and offerings, but we're also able to do it, you know, through the people that volunteer. And it just fills me with so much joy that this church, it's not a big church, that this church can serve our community. That was in the morning, and then in the afternoon, I had the opportunity to hang out with the youth. And we went to Fun Depot. And I mean, there was a good group of young people, Brother William and Vilmari right there. They're the leaders. Can you stand up so everybody can know that who you are, Brother and Mana Vilmari? Yeah. I thank the Lord for their lives. And so there was a good group of youth yesterday. That was in the afternoon. The pantry was in the morning, and then in the afternoon, the youth met. So right before the game started, you know, I was able to share, I had the privilege of sharing my testimony with them. You know, I was able to encourage them. And they had questions about, you know, my love life, those kind of questions, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. No, I told them how, you know, how I, you know, met Janet and how I fell in love with her. And that's a whole different story. So one of these days I'll you know, give that testimony. I'll have her give that testimony. She says it a whole bit better than I do. So the early church, you know, you can turn the lights on. They were all in one accord. But there's something else that they were doing. Secondly, there was something else that they were doing. And that's something, again, that I pray that you can keep mental note, that you can keep, you know, close to your heart and you can remember this. They were sharing the word. They were sharing the word. First, they were unified, you know, but then they started sharing the love of God to others. So let's go back to verse 33. Acts 4, verse 33. And it says this, "And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And get this, and great grace was upon them all." So at that point, there were thousands that had been saved. And each day, God was adding to those, to the church, those that would be saved. And you can read that in Acts chapter 2, the last few verses. So you can see that the apostles were preaching the word. The church, the brothers and sisters, the members of that early church, they were preaching the word. And the preaching was powerful. Mainly because God was with them. Mainly because they were all in one accord. They were unified. So people were getting saved with their preaching. They were preaching Christ. They were preaching Christ in an extremely difficult context. They were preaching Christ to the Israelites. I mean, none of this was easy. Not at all. The early church had problems with the authorities. The apostles were at times beaten. And there was this persecution. Because the Jews were extremely, extremely resistant to the gospel. Actually, just like now. Not much has changed in that respect. Because today, the world is growing more and more resistant to the gospel. But despite all that, despite the persecution, despite the beatings, despite all those things that could possibly, you know, encourage you, the church was still growing. God was blessing them. People were being blessed. God was pouring of his spirit even more. I mean, it was an amazing time. So I want you to listen very carefully to what happens next. Let's go back to Acts chapter 4, verse 34. This is exciting. This is good stuff. So verse 34, it says, "There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Do you see what the people are doing? I mean, they were giving and nobody was asking. No one was, you know, like every moment saying, "Hey, you know, we need money. We need this much. We need that much." They did it all voluntarily. I thank the Lord because that's exactly how we do it here. I hardly preach messages on giving. And I know, I do, but it's in my 10 years that I've been preaching here, 5 officially as the pastor of this church. I think I can count it with my you know, my fingers in both hands how many times I've preached on giving. Nonetheless, we've had people pay thousands of dollars on ACs that go down. During the pandemic, we had no equipment to live stream our services, and those things are expensive. In fact, we have you know, one that broke down today. We're not live streaming. And they're expensive. And a sister gave $5,000. It says, Pastor, I see that you're needing this. And she said, I'm going to pay for the live stream. I mean, others do it by giving their tithes, and they're consistent without fail. And as a result of all of that, we can do things like you see. You know, we're able to help our community. We are able to help people in need in our own church. We continue doing ministry. Those doors keep open. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord. I praise God. We're not a rich church, but God meets our needs. He really does. And I thank the Lord for that. And I pray to God, I feel uncomfortable in talking about money and talking about, you know, giving and all that kind of thing. But I do pray to God that, you know, he touches the hearts of the people. And not only to give, but also to serve. I encourage you, if you're not serving, find a ministry where you can serve. I mean, it's so awesome that when we can do that. We can see here in these verses that people were giving to the ministry. No one tells them to do it. It's coming from their heart. It is God putting it in their hearts to do so. The Holy Spirit is filling them. And all of that, the result of all of that is the joy that they receive in their hearts.
Hi, Pastor Manny here. We thank you so much for tuning in. It's a true blessing for us. If you like what you heard today, please go right ahead and download the message or share it with others. But we also invite you to come to our church at Boynton Beach. God bless you all.